hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today as we continue with our teaching series, Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages. Because this is a study session, we'll not be taking live phone calls today, but you can still get a question to us now or anytime at the usual number, and that number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. Or you can email your question to Bob, just address it to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way, we'll be glad to hear from you and promise to give you an answer on the air as soon as possible. But for right now, let's get today's broadcast underway, and here's Bob Christopher with the top 10 favorite passages. I think we're going to the Old Covenant today.
We're going to go to a passage in the Old Testament. It's Exodus chapter 33, and we're going to get into 34, and actually going to look at a small little passage in Exodus 40. But this is a passage that has fascinated me for all of my Christian life. I mean, I just love the interaction between the Lord and Moses in this particular passage. And New Testament writers really refer back to this story on numerous occasions to really share with us what we have in Christ Jesus. So one of the things that we learn about the Old Covenant, it was that it was a servant for the new. Mm-hmm. And we see also in the book of Hebrews that Moses was described as a servant in the house. And so in this passage, he really serves up some really meaty stuff that's going to happen for you and me. And it all relates to the very presence of God in us, right? Christ in you, your hope of glory. So let's dive in. This is Exodus 33, starting in verse 12. And just to set the scene here, here's the context. So they've crossed the Red Sea. They've camped at Mount Sinai. Moses went up on the mountain, and he brought the covenant down. The people agreed, "All that you have commanded, Lord, we will do." And then Moses goes back up on the mountain and gets more instruction. And he's gone for an extended period of time, and the Israelis were getting restless.
Yes.
Down below, and they were wondering, what has happened to our leader? And so they go to Aaron and say, something must be done. So they just refer or relate back to what the Egyptians would have done. Mm-hmm. And so they gather the gold, they gather the silver, they melt it down, and they form and fashion a golden calf. And they worship that, and they give that calf credit for bringing them across the Red Sea on dry land and all the miracles that God had performed.
Amazing.
So God was not real happy that they had violated the covenant within a very short period of time. And when Moses found out about it, he wasn't real happy either. So he's pleading with God on behalf of the people, and God is saying, just go to that land that I have told you about. My angel will lead you. Mm-hmm. And Moses has this conversation. So starting in verse 12, he said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. So if you are pleased with me, teach me your way so I may know you and continue to find favor with you." So Moses realized he's found favor with God, and he wants that to continue. So he said, "Remember that this nation is your people." And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." So what is Moses serving up for us in this new covenant? Well, he is telling us that in the very presence of God, we're going to experience rest for our souls. So Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and light." Mm-hmm. So we also see in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4 that there is a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Well, that rest is experienced in the very presence of God. So he says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us?" So something about the presence of God communicates his favor about the people that he is with. Mm-hmm. So what does the fact that Christ living in you communicate to you? That you are always in God's favor, that you are always in God's grace. So what will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. So what was the distinguishing mark for the people of Israel back in those days? Well, it wasn't the covenant. That was something that God had provided for the people of Israel. But what distinguished them from every other nation was the fact that God was in their midst. He was the distinguishing mark within the people of Israel. Now, what distinguishes us as the people of God today? The fact that God's presence is in us.
Right.
He is the distinguishing mark. What makes you different? What makes you new? What makes you unique as a believer? It's simply this, the fact that God abides in you through His Spirit. His presence in you means you're in His favor, means you have rest for your soul. It means you can trust Him, and His life lived out through you becomes a holy life that is seen out there in the world.
That is just good news. It really is. Thanks, Bob, for the opening thoughts. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. This is Session 3 of Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages, and we're glad you're with us today. You know, knowing the truth and being reminded of God's love and grace can help you start each day with hope and the incomparable joy of knowing that you are a child of God. And we think one of the very best ways that you can do that, you can make that happen, is by opening your email box every morning, first thing, and finding the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. You can get your subscription started today when you visit Basic Gospel and just put a slash and the word subscribe after the URL. That's basicgospel.net/subscribe. And you can start each day in the sure knowledge that you are a dearly loved child of God. And the daily devotional is free. So again, visit basicgospel.net/subscribe and sign up today for the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. Now again, let's continue, Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. So God's presence among His people back in the days of Moses was the distinguishing mark for the people of Israel. God's presence in us today through the Holy Spirit distinguishes us as the people of God. And here's the good news. Back in the days of Moses, God's presence was among the people. He did not live inside of the people.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they had to build a tabernacle, and that tabernacle became the dwelling place of God, and that tabernacle eventually became a temple. Solomon built the temple. That became the dwelling place of God. But now there's a new temple, and that new temple is us.
Right.
We are the dwelling place of the living God. So with God's presence, we find rest for the soul. We also find power for the journey. So our reliance is on Jesus from start to finish. His presence in us just calms the soul. We know we're in His favor, and we trust Him, and it's His power that carries us through our day-to-day lives. So His presence means rest for the soul and power for the journey. Now, at the end of this conversation, Moses said to God, "Now show me your glory." Now, what a bold, courageous, audacious statement
yeah.
That is. Can you imagine just a human being looking at God and saying, "Show me your glory"? And yet, this is exactly what Moses did. And God honored that. God put him in the crevice of a rock, and he passed by and showed Moses just a little piece of his glory. And it was such a powerful moment as far as Moses was concerned. It radiated his face.
Yeah.
So much so that when he came down from the mountain, he frightened the people of Israel. So he had to put a veil over his face. And again, the Apostle Paul refers to that story in his explanation of the new covenant in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And that's a passage, my favorite passage, number four. That we're going to get to next week.
Yeah.
But here's the good news. Moses was able to see the glory of God, just a little piece of the glory of God. what is he serving up? Well, the fact that we see the fullness of God's glory in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Mm-hmm. So we get to see the glory of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, when Jesus was transfigured on that Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter and James and John were there with him, mm-hmm. and then Moses and Elijah shows up. And so here's another answer to Moses' question, "Will you show me your glory?" He got to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So let's move on. And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." And then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." So as this happens, as God passes in front of Moses, we see the Lord saying about himself, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. And at this revelation, Moses bowed to the ground at once, and he worshiped. It's an amazing story. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting, God's glory is really the presence of God. And so when God made his presence known, he revealed something about himself to Moses. He revealed himself to Moses that he is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, forgiving, abounding in love and faithfulness, and that he is just. So he revealed something about his very nature to Moses. Now, what does God do for us? He reveals who he is in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus come into this world? Well, one of the reasons, as John explains in his gospel account, Jesus came to make the Father known to you and me. Apart from God, the Father, revealing himself through Jesus Christ, the Son, we would know nothing about him. We would know absolutely nothing about God apart from his revelation to us. So when he appears, when he shows up on the scene, we find out something about him. So we find out that he is compassionate, he's gracious, he's slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, and that he is just. All the things that we need. Well, when Moses discovered that, he bowed and worshiped. When we discover who God is in the person of Jesus Christ, what do? We humbly submit ourselves and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So we worship today and receiving Christ, yes, and then walking by faith in the living Christ, knowing that his presence in us means rest for the soul, and that his presence in us means power for the journey.
Power for the journey. Well, this is session 3 of Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages on Basic Gospel, and we're pausing for just a moment, friends, to remind everyone that Basic Gospel has many resources to help you understand and live in the incredible good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll find them in the store in the resources menu at basicgospel.net. And among these resources, of course, is Bob's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, that reveals what Bob discovered about the Christian life. how it works, how it's really supposed to work. And you'll find Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, along with all of our resources in the online store at basicgospel.net, right under in the resources menu. So we encourage you to go there to basicgospel.net and take advantage of these resources. Keep in mind, too, friends, that neither these resources nor the radio program would be available without your help. So please help us keep this good news coming. Click donate at basicgospel.net to help with a gift today if you can. Well, it is Basic Gospel, and this is number 3 in the series of Bob's top 10 favorite passages. So here again's Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. So Moses asked God to show him his glory. God was kind and said, I will do so. And he protected Moses by putting him in a cleft of a rock. And then he passed by, and Moses was able just to see the back of God. And it was such a powerful moment. It transformed Moses' very appearance. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a clue for us that when Christ lives in us, a transformation is going to happen inside of us. And so Moses, it was just radiating an external glow, mm-hmm. something that was on his face, not something that emanated from his heart. But for you and me, we have this glory of God living inside of us, and it radiates from inside out. So our hearts have been changed, our hearts have been transformed, our minds, our thinking, our will, all of that begins to be transformed, and then we express that out there in the world. So we radiate the very glory of God because Christ lives in us, just as Moses radiated the glory of God in that revelation, that small revelation that he experienced way back when. So that's an exciting thing to realize that we as children of God get to reflect the very image and glory of God out there in the world. That's our purpose. Yeah. That's why God has saved us and left us here. You know, we get this question all the time, Bob. You know, why didn't God just save us and take us home immediately? And all of us have probably asked that at some point in our lives, yeah. because this world that we live in is a tough place to live in. But there was a purpose. There was a reason that God left us here, so that we could radiate, so that we could reflect the very glory of God out there in the world. That's our purpose. That's our vocation as children of God. And I tell you, there's nothing more exciting than that, to know that the very presence of God in me, in you, is going to make a difference in this world today, here and now. So we have Moses asking to see the glory of God. We see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, what's interesting to me in all of this passage is that Moses knew something very important, that it wasn't the law that separated the people of God from all other nations. It wasn't those commandments written on stone. It was the very presence of God in their midst.
Right.
And that was the important piece that I think the rest of Israel missed, and oftentimes is missed today. But Moses realized that God's presence meant everything. He was the distinguishing mark. Now, after this happened in 33 and 34, God gives Moses instructions to build a tabernacle. And there were exact specifications on how that tabernacle was going to be built. And they gathered all of the materials. They put together a group of workers, and they built this tabernacle. And when it was complete, they erected it, and they had this dedication. And when that happened, we read in Exodus 40:34, then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So they basically constructed a place for God to dwell. So God's glory filled the tabernacle, and that was God's dwelling place. That's where he resided among the people of Israel as they journeyed. And when the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, it was time for them to take up the stakes and move and continue in their journey.
Right.
Well, what does that represent? Well, it represents what we experience as children of God today. So Moses built the tabernacle. That became the dwelling place of God. When David became king, it was his desire to build a permanent dwelling place for God. So he wanted to build a temple. Well, David was unable to do that. That fell to Solomon. So Solomon built this temple in Jerusalem, just a magnificent structure, a beautiful building. And in First Samuel chapter 7, I believe, after it's finished and they dedicate it, the same thing happened. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. What was that indicating? That God's presence was now there. Mm-hmm. It was in the temple in Jerusalem. And if you ask any Israelite where God lived, they would point to Jerusalem and they would say, in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, that special room, mm-hmm. The most holy place in the temple. That was God's dwelling place. Well, what happened on the day of Pentecost? Tongues of fire appeared above the heads of the disciples, the apostles. What was that indicating? That the glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, was occupying the new temple. Mm-hmm. And what was that new temple? Well, it's you and it's me. We are the temple of God. We are the dwelling place of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul asked this question in the midst of one of his arguments about how they should handle themselves as believers in Christ. And he has this phrase, "Do you not know?" And you read a lot of Paul's writings, and you will see this phrase appear on numerous occasions. Do you not know? He used it in Romans 6. And here's the "do you not know." Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Do you not know that? You should know it if you're a believer, because this is true. God has taken up residence in you. God the Father lives in you. John tells us that in his first letter. We know, according to Colossians 1:27, that Christ lives in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We know from Galatians 4:5 that God has sent his Spirit into our hearts, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So we have the fullness of the Godhead living inside of us. We have become the dwelling place of God here on planet Earth. So individually, our bodies are the temple of the living God. Corporately, as a body of Christ, we are the temple of the living God. And he, Christ, in us is our distinguishing mark. He is the one that enables us to love one another as God has loved Christ Jesus. So within this body of Christ, we're going to find people, we're going to meet people, we're going to encounter people that are different from us, that just on a worldly basis, we would not choose to be friends with. We might even despise or look down upon. But in Christ, because we're the dwelling place of God and God's Spirit resides in us, we can emanate the love one for another. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God lives in us. We radiate the glory of God through faith in Jesus Christ as we express the love of God one to another. So all that we see in this Old Testament passage, Exodus 33, is Moses serving up the full meal that you and I enjoy today through faith in Jesus Christ, enjoying his presence in us forever.
It all points to Jesus.
Yes, it does.
And, Bob, great insights. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being with us for session number 3 of our Friday study series based on Bob Christopher's top 10 favorite passages. We'll go for number 4 next week at this time, but if you have questions about anything you hear or have heard on Basic Gospel, well, the phone line is always open for you at 844-322-3255. 2742. We love hearing from you, our listeners, and we'll be glad to address your question on Basic Gospel Live. So give us a call at 844-322-2742. One more time, 844-322-2742. And leave a voicemail for us. Short of that, you can drop an email to Bob. You can address him at bob@basicgospel.net. Also, please remember the ever-present need of your support for this ministry. If Basic Gospel is making a difference in your life, well, help us keep the good news coming by supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to partner with us. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.